All right, if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Job chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1, and this was probably one of my favorite years this year. A lot of awesome things happened, and I just want to praise the Lord for that. But in Job chapter number 1, we're going to look at someone who might not have had an awesome year. He definitely had some trials go on in this particular year of his life, and we're going to look at how he responded to those, and then just look at a couple things, and then hopefully we can learn how to respond to trials in our life the right way, and the way that God intended us to, and then the way that he wants us to so he can bless us. And so Job chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Verse number 1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, It may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there, behold, there came a great wind in the wilderness, from the wilderness, and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose, and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Let's pray. Dearly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for just a wonderful year that we had, and Lord, watching this video and looking back on the memories, Lord, it seems like some of the stuff that happened this year happened like forever ago, and Lord, it's just a blessing to be able to look at pictures like that and remember the stuff that we did, and Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for each and everyone that came out, and I pray that you'd just fill them with your spirit tonight. I pray that you'd be with all the preachers, and I pray that we'd get something from your word tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so first we see in verse number 20, first we see in the chapter that he lost everything. I mean, he lost everything from his material possessions to his family. I mean, he lost all 7 sons and all 3 daughters. He lost absolutely everything. And but at the beginning of the chapter, it says that he was a perfect man, an upright man, a man that feareth God and escheweth evil, right? And if God says someone's perfect, then I'm pretty sure he'd probably be pretty perfect. God says he cannot lie. And so if he says Job's perfect, then I guess we better just believe that he was a perfect man, even though it seems like impossible to happen. But at this time, it says that he was perfect. And The God also tells us in Matthew 5:8, or in Matthew 5, verse number 48, it says, "Be ye perfect as the Father, as your Father in heaven is perfect." And so he gives us the command to be perfect. And I think a lot of times we have that excuse as, "Oh, I'm just human. You know, I'm flesh. I fail sometimes." You know, and God says that we need to be perfect. And we see that he had all the material possessions. He had a big family. He had everything, it seemed like. It says that he was one of the richest in the East, right? And but yet, he lost everything. And we could probably, if anyone lost anything, if anyone, I mean, like this guy, I mean, he had everything. So we'd think that if anyone was able to be mad at God for that, or if anyone was to be able to get bitter about something, we'd think it'd be Job, right? I mean, he lost absolutely everything, but we don't see that happening. We don't see that he gets bitter at all. Instead, we see that he humbles himself. In verse number 20, it says, "And then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped," right? He humbled himself. He didn't fill himself up with pride. And really, if you look at bitterness, the root of bitterness is pride, right? If you look at, the most common question when something like this happens is, "Why me?" Or, "Why God?" Or, "Why did this happen to me?" And that's a question out of pride, right? If you ask that question in a way that's saying, like, "I don't deserve this, right? Why would it happen to me? It could have happened to anyone else, but it happened to me. I don't deserve this." No, that's a prideful statement. And we see that Job did not have that statement. He did not have that in his heart. He said he just rent his clothes and fell down on his face in a humble way. He humbled himself. He knew that he wasn't worthy of all the stuff that he had. He knew that he was worthy of, he's a sinner, right? So he's worthy of hell. And that's really what we all are worthy of. That's the best thing that we deserve right there. And anything else, anything better than that is really God's grace, right? We don't deserve anything that we have today. And Job realized that. And so he humbled himself. And next we see that he worshiped God. And this is really interesting, right? He worshiped the one that gave him everything, and he worshiped the one that took everything away. And ultimately, God had the power to give him all that stuff. He had the power to take it away. He gave that power to Satan, right? And so Satan took all that away. But he worshiped God. And when people go through times like this, we like to worship ourselves, right? We like to have that "woe is me" mentality. We like to have that that thought process of, "I don't deserve this happening to me. I want to make things better. I'm going to do something for myself. How did this happen? How can I never let this happen again?" You want to comfort yourself, right? And you're worshiping yourself. But Job didn't do that. He says he worshiped God. And he knew he loved God. He had a relationship with God. And he didn't just worship God in the bad times, right? If you don't worship God in the good times, then you're definitely not going to worship God in the bad times. He was faithful. It says early in the chapter that he offered sacrifices for his kids every day. He was faithful. I'm sure he offered sacrifices for himself as well. He had that relationship with God. He worshiped God each and every day. And if we don't worship God every day, then in the good times, how do we expect that we'd worship God when something like this happens, or when a trial that we face happens, right? It's not going to happen. If you don't worship God in the good times, you most definitely will not worship God in the bad times. And so we see that he humbled himself before God and he worshiped. And second, and lastly, we see that he witnessed. And he was a testimony. In the latter part of verse number 21, it says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." You might say, "Well, who did he witness to?" Well, each and every one of those servants that came and told Job all those things, they were right here when all that happened. And I don't know, maybe God had that happen for them. Maybe they needed to see. Maybe they needed to see someone that loved God. And go through this hard time, and maybe they needed to see that he didn't curse God. Right. Maybe they needed to see that he blessed the name of the Lord, right? What happens when you go through a trial like this? Do you have that "woe is me" mentality when you go to work? Do you have that just that humdrum spirit about you? And maybe you hate life. Well, be honest. Your coworkers, your family, they see all that. And even though you might be going through a hard time, even though you might be going through something that's insanely difficult to go through, There's people watching you.
That's right.
And when you go through hard times, people watch you closer. And it may seem unfair, but when you go through hard things, people watch you closer because they want to see how you react. And and Job, he witnessed to him. He was a faithful witness. He had a faithful testimony to those servants. And I can't help but wonder, how did that impact those servants? Maybe they ended up getting saved. Maybe they ended up trusting God. You never know. But this year, whenever you face hard times, because there will be hard times that you will face this year, and you can't get away from them. It's going to happen. It's life. And how will you respond? Will you be the typical person? Will you be the typical, just the typical guy who, you know, he asked that question, that prideful question, why me? I don't deserve this, right? Will you be lifted up with pride? Will you humble yourself? Or will you worship God? Will you worship yourself? And will you be a faithful witness for God during those times? Because even though people watch you closer, that means you have a higher spot to be a witness to them. You have a better spot to show them that you do love God and that God loves you. And even though he gives, he can take away, and it's his deed to do so.
Right.
So that's all I got. So. Yeah. Praise the Lord.